again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say that so often, but we say it sincerely. Just good to get together. Appreciate Jim's good memory that he remembers this lesson from last year at the New Year time. So if you were here last year and you heard this, you can pass the test. You can leave. But there's just a good lesson as a reminder. Remember the story of a brand new preacher to a congregation and preached his first sermon, and the brethren thought, "Wow, that was really good." Next Sunday, he preached the same lesson. And the leadership and the brethren got together and said, "Well, maybe he just forgot that he preached that one last week." And third Sunday came, preached the same lesson again. Oh, well, okay. And fourth Sunday, the same thing. So finally, they called him in. Said, "You preached the same lesson four Sundays in a row." And the response of the preacher was, "Well, when you get that one right, then I'll move on to the next one." So maybe when you get all these resolutions cemented in your life, then we'll move on to another resolution. Maybe talk about attendance. Bible reading or something like that. Saw this cartoon in the newspaper. Two people are talking, and one says, "What are you going to give up for New Year's?" The other one says, "Resolutions." Give up resolutions. In the text that was read to us, Joshua has led the people into the promised land. So now he's asking the people to make a resolution. Joshua has stated his own, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." That's our resolution. Doesn't have to be a New Year's resolution, but they're good anytime. But then the people responded, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods." That's a good place to start. We think about making a resolution. By definition, I put in your notes, it means to come to a decision. If you make a resolution, it means that you're going to set a goal. You're going to aim at a stated purpose. In other words, you're going to commit to something. This I will do. Or this is my intent. This is what I want to do. This is my expectation for me. A resolution. It's a determination. It means that I'm going to be resolute or firm or fixed in an outcome. This is what I want to happen in my life. Resolution. We usually make them on January 1st. We vow to become better in some way this new year. Sometimes resolutions are quickly forgotten. Maybe like this lesson in your life from last year. But never fails, it's always good to make a resolution. It's better than making no attempt at all. And then certainly, some people really aren't ready for a change, and they make their resolution stick. We hope that fits us. This lesson, even last year, takes from front page of the bulletin from 61st and Division Street Congregation, and Brother McKenzie, the minister, just gave these 10 things, the resolutions. I thought, I'll make a sermon out of that. So I wish he'd have given more comments. He just had 10 things listed there, so we're going to use that for our lesson. Number one, he says to keep them all year long was the title of his lesson. Gifts that we can give. Keep them all year long. Number one, keep a promise. Keep a promise. Matthew 5, verse 37, Jesus said, "Let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these comes of evil." What he's saying is that, and what he means is, follow through on what you say you're going to do. Make good your word. The old phrase that we have, I know from my youth, and I heard of it, I know you have too, your word is your bond. Used to say, let's shake on it. And one shouldn't have to make a promise and seal it by putting his hand on your Bible or a stack of Bibles. Even in the text that Jesus gave, he said, you don't need to swear by things in the heavens or things on the earth. Let your yea be yea. Make good your word. It means that you can be counted upon and follow through with what you say or promise. It's a good resolution. Keep a promise. Number two was, let someone have the last word. But again, he didn't define who that someone would be, but from the text that he gave, we can make a good conclusion. In James 1, verse 19, the verse says, James says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Brother McKenzie's comment in his article was, he just said, develop the skill of listening. But the verse that he referenced, when James says, be quick to hear, the context is that James has referenced to is that we should be anxious to hear God's word. We should be quick to know what God has to say to us. Be quick to hear. And then that reverse, slow to speak in the text. Slow to speak back at, or slow to show displeasure at the teaching of God's word. Quick to hear it, or slow to answer it back. Don't get your nose out of joint about what God says. Slow to wrath is that third phrase of the text. It means don't be hasty in being angry at God's word when he tells you the truth. So when Brother McKenzie is giving this resolution or suggested resolution or a gift that we can give all year long, be quick to hear what God has to say and slow to rebut it. And slow to wrath. Don't get your nose bent out of shape because God's telling you something you don't want to hear. Brother McKenzie suggested we need to develop the skill and the proper response to God's word when it's preached or when it's read. Let God have that someone. Is let God have the last word. Let God have the final say. Be quick to hear what God is telling. Number three and four kind of go together. First thing in number three is listen to a child. Number four is listen to an adult. I guess listen. But number three is listen to a child. He says the Lord does. In Matthew 18, verse 5, I've added a verse, but Matthew 18, verse 5, it says, whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. We want to receive the little children. In Mark 10, verse 16, referring to Jesus, says he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. The children. You know, when our two grandsons come to visit, when we visit them, you know, the first thing they do is they're usually the first ones to greet us at the door. Usually there's a toy or something in their hand. They did that yesterday when they arrived at the house. Can't wait to tell us about what they have. And so the first thing we do after we hug them, you know, they stoop down and go, what is it? What does it do? Tell me. You know, before we greet the rest of the family. Listen to the child. We greet them with hugs. They start talking. Stop and listen. Listen. Ask questions. We need to take time to greet the children in our congregation. Listen to them. Learn their names of the children. So number three was listen to the child. Number four was listen to the adult. that's an insult. Insult when he says you may learn something by listening to an adult. I think he just means to listen to a teacher. Listen for information or listen for instruction. Might even listen for correction. But listen to an adult. The verse he uses for this admonition is found in Acts chapter 10, verse 33. It's an interesting story. It's the meeting of Cornelius and Simon Peter. And Cornelius had called Simon Peter to come to the house. And the verse says in Acts 10, verse 33, immediately, therefore I, meaning Cornelius, I sent for you, meaning Simon Peter, and you've done well that you've come to my house, Cornelius says. And then Cornelius continues and says, now, therefore, we're all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded you of God. So Cornelius is very happy for this meeting and knowing Peter is coming. He's called his household together. And his message to Peter is not only just thank you for coming, but we want to hear what God has given you to tell us. So that's the context of the resolution. Listen to an adult, the Bible class teacher or the messenger. Similar to that situation we have when we assemble for worship. I've come and you've come. And we're all here to hear a lesson or a message from God's Word. It's part of our worship to God. To say, God, what would you have us to hear today? The task I have in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 is preach the Word. So God, what do you have? What would you like us to hear? And then we've all come together to hear the things that are commanded of God. And then we have our Bible classes too, not just a worship assembly. A Bible study time that we may be instructed and encouraged and built up and edified in the obligations that we have, not only to one another, but to God. It's a time to listen to a prepared lesson. And that's what I think the resolution is in number four. Listen to an adult, to what God has to say to us. Number five, like someone in line in front of you, it doesn't hurt to be kind. I can let someone in line behind me. That's easy. Brother McKenzie suggesting let someone in front of you. Oh, me. But that did happen to me this week at the grocery store, and it wasn't me that let someone in. It was a lady let me in front of her. I just had a couple things, and she had a cart, and she just saw me, of course, after I nudged her a couple times. But I did have a gracious lady out of the blue, so to speak. Would you like to go before me? Okay. I will. Of course, I don't want to let somebody in front of me when I'm on the freeway and I'm the 25th car in line making an exit. And this person. Typically, we do. Let it go. The resolution. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is patient. I wonder how much time I lost if I let someone in line in front of me. What if you, next time you let someone in line in front of you, start the clock. You say, oh, 20 seconds. That's all it took. I'm only out 20 seconds to be gracious, to be kind, to fulfill a resolution. Let someone in line in front of you. It was a gift that we are to give. Our resolution is to display good manners. I think that's included in this resolution. Is to go a second mile, as Jesus said. It means to do more than what's expected. It means once you've done what's requested, then add a little more. See, that's Christianity. That's love in that's the patience, and that's an obligation that you and I have. And we want to be, want to encourage one another in that. And it will be noticed, and Jesus said there's a way that we behave that others will know on whose side we belong and on whose side we stand by the things that we do. In John chapter 13, verse 33, love one another, and love is patient. Patient. Encourage you in that. Number six is keep a secret. Brother McKenzie didn't make any comments in his article. He just put a verse there. Keep a secret. Well, he's keeping a secret about what he has in mind, I guess. But the verse he gives is James 3, verse 2. It says, for in many things we offend all. But if any man offend not in word, the same's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Oh, the things that we say. There'll be times when we just have to zip our lips. Keep a secret. We're going to have to bite our tongue. Put a clothespin on my lips. I mean, someone wanted to tell me a secret, and then they kind of said afterwards, but this is not for publication, Brian. I want to tell somebody. Rick, can you keep a secret? I heard someone say, if your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care, of whom you speak, to whom you speak, and how, and when, and where. It's just a time that you and I are going to need to keep a secret. Some things just don't need to be told. Even if it's the truth, may not need to be told. Illustration, sometimes people might be talking together or casually, and a name might come up and say, oh, you know, brother or sister so-and-so, and they, yes, they're the finest people, oh, I love them so dearly, and then this one good-intentioned person may come in and say, oh, but you wouldn't think so highly of them if you knew what they did 20 years ago. Why do you want to say what they did 20 years ago? Keep a secret. I don't need to know what they did 20 years ago. But I've known what they've done the last 20 years. And then someone said, plus I might want to give them information because maybe they don't know. Because, oh, but did you know they repented of that and they came forward and they asked the congregation for prayer? So why are you bringing it up now when God wiped it out and forgot? I don't want to get off on this. But why are you bringing it up now, 20 years later, when God's forgiven it and forgotten it? Why don't you forget it and forgot it? Don't bring it up. Hold on, I got off on that. It must be something I'm thinking about. Something must, I don't know what's on my mind on that one, but it's not in my notes. Keep a secret. Number 7 and 8 kind of go together too. Say something nice to someone you like. And number 8, say something nice to someone you don't like. So Clarence, you're in luck.
Wow. Wow.
Making say which number?
Number 7. I'm going to say something to someone I like. Don't assume I meant the other. But Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, meaning build up or encouraging, that it may minister grace to the heart. So say something nice to someone you like. Brother McKenzie said to encourage someone is to strengthen them, and that's what we want to do. He mentioned a moment about our young people. We'll call them by name. Build them up, lift them up, inspire hope in another, means edify. Cheer them up. fleshly inclinations. My flesh does, you know I don't like them. But here they are in my presence, or we have to pass each other on the sidewalk. Now what am I going to do? Or we have happened to attend the same meeting and I don't like them, but Colossians 4 verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you know how to answer every man. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust thereof. You know, that person I don't like, I just want to say something nasty again to them, but no, I don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5 verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, and we do, let's walk in the Spirit. So the natural man says, you know, this fleshly man says, when I see this person I don't like, I'm not going to say something nice to them. Oh, you know, this fleshly side of me says I don't like them, never have, I'm mad at them, I'm not going to talk to them. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that's a godly spirit. Oh, just be nice. Be nice. Good manners. Just say or be nice to someone you don't like. Number nine is smile more and frown less. Someone said it takes 88 muscles to frown and only 16 to smile. 88 to frown. You know how hard it is to frown? Well, everybody try it. To work it from. Ephesians 4 verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Wow. That just took away half my conversation. But the gift, the resolution that I'm to bestow upon others, my resolution is to make my speech more loving and gracious and uplifting. And the last one, give people your best. And somehow the best will be returned to you. The golden rule. We'll refer to this verse as a golden rule, meaning it's valuable, it's treasure-filled. In Matthew 7, verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men would do to you, make it positive. Action. Do ye even to them. Yeah, I know how I want people to treat me, but wait a minute. Do to them. It's the law and the prophets. So this is not just merely a good idea. Not just a suggested resolution. It's law and it's prophets, Jesus said. So that's a pretty impressive resolution to make. The way I want people to treat me, I better be doing that to them. And when we behave badly to others, do I really want them to treat me that way too? It says, do unto others as you would have them do to me. Well, I don't want to treat them badly because I want them to treat me badly. The best gift and the best resolution to make of all is to become a Christian. And to live it. It's implied. If you're here this morning and I remember the New Testament church, and you have not been born again, you have not been baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that this morning. Well, brethren, to pray with you or for you, if there's a need that you haven't expressed in written form or some way that we can know about that, you need to respond in a public way, we can certainly do that too. Well, let's stand together, we'll sing a song.